I do give you a warm welcome to this midweek meeting. Those of you gathered here in the hall, may the Lord richly bless us. And for those of you who are joining via the live stream, may the Lord richly bless you as well. The psalmist said, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Let us come then to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and ever blessed God, we come to thee and we thank thee that thou art a refuge. We thank thee that thou art a fortress. O Lord, we come to thee. We come through the name of our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for him. We thank thee for what he did for us here upon earth, for that finished work. But then we consider the ongoing work, even now, he maketh intercession. He looks well to us. He cares for us. We do thank thee for him. And we would come to thee, Heavenly Father, through his name. We have no merit of our own. Our only hope is him, and it's a hope well grounded. Oh, we thank thee for him. Do forgive us our sin, Heavenly Father, even of this day. Do bless us tonight as we turn to the word and later as we turn to prayer. Help us in this time of prayer. O Lord, we come then. Remember us in thy mercy. Draw near. Help us, we pray. And help us to give thee the glory that is due unto thy name. Hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We turn to our first praise, Psalm 63, the 63rd Psalm. And we're going to sing from verse 1 through to verse 8. And the tune is Weatherby, the 63rd Psalm. We're going to sing from verse 1 through to verse 8. And the tune is Weatherby. These precious words here. Lord, thee, my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry, parched land, wherein no waters be.
Lord, thee, my God,
where
Chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 12 down to our text in verse 24. Matthew 11 and verse 12 down to our text in verse 24. Let us hear God's word. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. But verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Well, you'll find my text tonight in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Dear congregation, our Lord here presses home the importance of faith when one engages in prayer. Now, first of all, we need to recognize that these words were directed in the first place to our Lord's disciples. Just briefly consider the context, as we saw in our reading tonight. The disciples were instruments in performing certain miracles. In Luke 9, verse 2, we read, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And so we see how they were used instrumentally in miracles being performed. Now it was important, as we see here, that they exercise faith in their ministry. Just come with me again to verse 20. "In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God." He makes it plain. They were to exercise faith. Now, John Gill has some helpful comments here as we come to verse 24. "For encouragement in prayer, more particularly, without which nothing should be attempted, and especially which is above the power of nature and is of a miraculous kind." You see how important it was for those disciples to exercise faith. Now, having said this, we note an important lesson here for ourselves. We believe, in light of a number of passages, particularly Hebrews 2, verse 4, that the day of special gifts has passed. We have now the completed canon. Interesting words of the apostle in Hebrews 2, verse 4, "God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." Them witnesses. However, as we come to these words, what can we learn? How important it is to exercise faith in prayer. We are to believe that the Lord will answer in accordance to his most holy and perfect will. So with this in mind, let's come to verse 24. And I'd like us to consider two things tonight before we come to prayer. First of all, the offering up of our desires. And then secondly, the desired thing received. The offering up of our desires, and secondly, the desired thing received. Our Lord said in verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, as we come to the subject of prayer and the exercising of faith, it is so important also as we come to prayer that we submit to the will of God. Remember how our Lord gave direction in that pattern prayer. "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." And it's important, isn't it? We submit to the Lord. Have we not the example of our blessed Saviour in the Garden of Gethsemane? "Not my will, but thine be done." We consider him speaking there in the garden. He was in agony. He had such a heavy heart, but he submitted from his human nature to the divine will. Now, there's great mystery because he was God and still is God, but we see him submitting there. And so we see it in light of his human nature. "Not my will, but thine be done." Oh, to echo such words when we come to prayer. "Thy will be done." Not mine, not what I think, but what the Lord has shown in his word. How important that is. "Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." We need to consider that as we come to prayer. You know, sometimes we ask amiss because we don't submit to God's word. We seek to go about, we seek to pray, but we don't consult the word of God. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. We're to consider the revealed will, his will that is seen is revealed, but then we're also to consider his secret will. Those words are used by the theologians just to help us to understand a little. Well, how important it is, isn't it? And you understand why the Lord gave direction. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. After the death of my mother, I went down to the church in Christchurch, and there was my father. And he simply said this after the death of my mother, before the funeral, God's will be done. God's will be done. And he submitted in his grief, in his sorrow, and so did we all, to God's will. We're bringing this all together. Let's turn now to 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we consider tonight exercising faith as we offer up our desires unto him, how important it is to submit to his will. That's so important. Not my will, but thine be done. When we consider providence, God's providence is over all. But we have to be careful that we don't read providence wrong. And we tell God what providence should be. No, we're to submit to him. And when we're in that posture of submission, it helps us to exercise faith, doesn't it? We're looking to him. Lord, I'm in this situation. Here's my prayer. I submit to thee. In view of the secret will, but also in view of the revealed will. Lord, this is what thou art saying to me. And so I look to thee by faith. And I believe that thou wilt answer my prayer. Well, we have here the word in verse 24, desire. Literally from the Greek, it can be translated here as desire, or to ask, to beg, to call for, to crave, to require. And we're thinking of a little child, aren't we? The little child comes humbly, looking up, and asks, please, can I have? When I was a boy, I often used to go to my mother, and I used to say, often before tea time, can I have a biscuit? She would say, no, it's nearly tea time. But I would go as a little child, please, mum. We're to go as children, looking up to our Heavenly Father. When we look up to him, we submit to him. Now, Psalm 25, and to thee do I lift up my soul. And the old commentators speak of there, the believer, showing to the Lord their prayerful dependence. They're depending on him. They're submitting to him as children then. We don't lean on our own understanding. We look to him. We submit to him. We need to recognize at times we get it wrong. We ask amiss. Let's see what the Lord says in James 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. We do ask amiss at times. But having said this, we consider this desire, we go to the Lord humbly, and we ask. We offer up a prayer. The Shorter Catechism puts it like this. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. There it is, the offering up of our desires for things agreeable to his will. If the Lord has not declared it in his word, we shouldn't ask for it, because it's not his will. But if the Lord has declared it, for example, there is provision, our needs are met, then we ask him. that the Lord would meet our needs. Well, we have certain desires, do we not? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, let's consider a few desires, a few offering up of prayer. First of all, for necessities. Did not our Lord teach us to pray, give us this day our daily bread? And so we pray for our food, and we know there the bread speaks of all our necessities. You might be praying for some transport. It might be not be the poshest car, but all for some transport to get us from A to B. Our necessities. And you know, we need to submit to the Lord, that the Lord shows to us what is our necessities, not what we think. If we're in that posture of humility, we ask the Lord to show us our necessities, what we need. Secondly, wisdom. What things soever ye desire, when ye pray. We need wisdom, don't we? That's a desire, isn't it? That's a offering up of prayer. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so we see it's the will of God there in James 1 verse 5 to desire wisdom from the Lord. And how we need wisdom. A precious psalm, young people, is Psalm 25, isn't it? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me thy ways, not my ways, but thy ways. Teach me thy paths, not my paths, but thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. You see, there's the psalmist. He's looking to the Lord. He desires to be shown. He desires wisdom. And we need it, do we not? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then think of another desire, strength. We need strength, do we not? Now we may desire physical strength, but particularly spiritual strength. And that's where we so need it, isn't it? Remember the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah, though he was opposed by the enemy, looked to the Lord for strength to continue on. Nehemiah 6 verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. We need strength to be doing, particularly those spiritual things. We need strength. You know, we need strength to pray, don't we? I feel my weakness so much in prayer. How I need strength, Lord, just to, at times, just to make those groanings within. We look to the Lord for strength. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. It may be you're facing some challenge, maybe in the workplace. Lord, help me again. Strengthen me to do this task. Give me strength within, that I might focus on thee as I so do this practical task. Fourthly, let's consider help. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. You need help. I need help. You call Asa. In difficulty, what did he do? 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11. Cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Looking to the Lord for help as individuals, as a congregation here. You see, they come together and they ask the Lord for help. Asaph is speaking, but do you notice the middle of the verse, 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11, help us. We think of the family prayer, give us this day our daily needs. We have particular petitions we might offer up as individuals, but then there's the family spirit. And it's good, isn't it? We come together here as a family. help us. You may say, help me, but then you may say also, help us. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. You see, the family spirit, we're all resting on the Lord in this. And we're asking for help in this. Well, that's an offering, not of a desire, isn't it? Help me, Lord. Remember that simple little prayer offered by that one in straits? Lord, help me. Or maybe in difficulty. And yet they've not even said just a little prayer. Lord, help me. When you're in straits, it may not be a long prayer, but just a little prayer. Lord, help me. I'm looking to thee. I'm exercising faith. I need help. Me, I need help. Lord, help me. Fifthly, forgiveness. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If, you know that right there, if. That's so important, isn't it? Can we expect forgiveness if we don't confess? If we confess our sins, the Lord knows all. Are we willing to tell him all our sins? One may say, well, yes, I do, but they hide their sins. And the Lord knows. We can't hide from the Lord. Adam and Eve, could they hide from the Lord? The Lord went walking. Where art thou? He knew where they are, but he was seeking to convict them. If we confess, if. We can't expect it if we don't confess, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess humbly, penitently, in a genuine way, and seek that forgiveness, he will. Sixthly, grace. Therefore I send to you what things soever ye desire, when ye believe, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. How we need grace. More grace. What's the encouragement to pray for grace? He giveth more grace to who? The proud? No, to the humble. Consider Moses' request after the gross idolatry in which Aaron made a golden calf. Exodus 33 verse 13. And further after Moses broke the tablets of stone. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people. That I may find grace. He's looking to the Lord. He needs more grace. He wants to be assured of more grace. And we find ourselves in that position. Lord, I need more grace. Lord, send me more grace. I beg of thee for grace. We humbly go to him. Are not the benedictions an encouragement? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's a pronouncement of blessing. Sometimes we see them at the beginning of the epistle or at the end of the epistle. And that's to encourage, isn't it? To encourage us to pray for grace when we go on our way or at the beginning of the service. We need more grace. More grace, Lord. My grace is sufficient, says the Lord. Will we call out to him for it? More grace, Lord. My grace is sufficient. We need fresh supplies of grace, do we not? Each and every day. We're thankful for grace this moment. We need grace tonight before we go to bed and grace when we wake up in the morning. Oh, keep going to the Lord. Humbly submitting to him, for he giveth more grace. What a gracious hand. And he extends it to you. And he gives more grace. I remember my granny's hand. The plate of cakes would come in. Here you go, Ellen. She would hand out the plate to me. These lovely mint chocolate cakes. And I would take them. But the Lord, in a gracious way, he holds out his hand. And what's in his hand? More grace. And through grace, we're strengthened to take more of that grace. You pray for more grace. Here, be faithful. Well, we think of these desires. The offering up of these desires. Well, what does our Lord say? What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. Believe. You see the importance of exercising faith. We need to focus. Our Lord gave help in this. He gave that direction for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. You see, the focus straight away, there in that direction for prayer, is upon the Lord. But we need help. We need strength, do we not? Because at times we struggle. And Satan, he whispers in our ear and doubts can arise. We do struggle to exercise faith in prayer, do we not? Remember that man in Mark 9, verse 24? Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe. You say to the Lord, Lord, I'm believing, but oh, there's unbelief. I'm struggling to exercise faith. You may say it with tears. What does the Lord do? He takes those tears and he receives them into his bottle. Psalm 56, verse 8. And he accepts the prayer. You may struggle. But that struggling little prayer is heard by the God of heaven. And he'll come and help you. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Oh, to exercise faith. Ask the Lord to help you in exercising faith in prayer. Oh, to focus on him. Listen to John Newton. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray. Rise and ask without delay. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power as such, none can ever ask too much. You see there, John Newton. He encouraged his hearers to exercise faith, to come with large petitions. Yes, of course, the small petitions. But there he's thinking of exercising faith. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. You may go to the Lord, I need grace tonight, and I need grace all this week and all my life. You believe. And it's in accordance to his will. There will be more grace for you tonight, this week, and all your life. Exercise faith. We're told of a certain pastor in a local church called a special prayer meeting for all the people of the town to come and to pray for rain. Many arrived, and you could sense the seriousness of the crowd. As the pastor was getting ready to begin the meeting, he noticed a young girl standing quietly in the front. Her face was beaming with excitement, and then he saw beside her, open and ready to use, a large umbrella. No one else brought an umbrella but this little girl, because her faith was focused. What things soever ye desire when ye believe, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. Well, let's draw to a close. Time has passed quickly. Secondly, the desired thing received. Turn again to 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This is the confidence. We know. We look to his word, we submit to his will, and we pray in the light of it. Well, let's just close with returning what we've already considered. The desired thing received. So first of all, necessities received. Philippians 4 verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Our needs are met. And they're met in a special way. The Lord provides, does he not, for man and beast, Psalm 36. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But you, dear child of God, have your food provided and your homes in a special way in view of Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Secondly, wisdom is received. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You ask for wisdom, it will be given. You'll see it in the word. And how often we've been praying for the Lord to give us wisdom, show us the way, and we've been reading in the word. And some verses come home to us. And that's an encouragement, isn't it? When you've been asking for wisdom, and the Lord speaks to you through the word. Yes, this is what he's saying to me. Thirdly, direction given. We receive direction. Isaiah 58 verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. The Lord shall guide thee continually, show me thy ways. We can expect to receive guidance in light of Isaiah. Fourthly, strength received. We pray for strength. We feel our weakness. I was listening to a sermon the other day. In sanctification, one of the things the Lord does, he makes us see our weakness. Why? So we look to Jesus. And that through him who strengtheneth me, we can do all things. If you lean on your own strength, what will happen? You will fall over. You will stumble. But the Lord makes us see our weakness in sanctification so that we know how much more we need Jesus. And that's the way, isn't it? The more we progress in sanctification, we see our need of Jesus. We look to the Lord for strength because we know we so need it because we're so weak, and strength is received. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. You pray for strength. He will, because he is a covenant God. And he has declared in his word, I will strengthen thee. Fifthly, which also close, help received. We pray for help. You believe, he'll give you help. And he will. Psalm 28 verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Did you note those words there? My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Let me use an illustration. You may be crying. You're struggling. You look to the Lord, and you open the Bible. And you read maybe a psalm or another passage. Maybe just a few verses, and the tears dry up as it were, because you know the Lord is helping you. He's speaking to me, and you're able to get up and go on. Help received. My heart trusteth in him. You trust him. You exercise faith. Help will come. 1 Samuel 7 verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. Hitherto have the Lord helped us. A couple of weeks ago at the prayer meeting in Chippenham for the TBS Wessex Auxiliary, I mentioned these words in Psalm 115 verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us still. It's the same as Ebenezer, isn't it? Hitherto have the Lord helped us. He's helped me in times past. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to trust him in this trial. I'm going to believe he will send help. And help, because of grace, compassion and love, will come. Sixthly, grace. 1 Peter 5 verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Clothed with humility, he giveth grace to those that are clothed with humility. What does our Lord say here? What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let me close with this. In your praying, what do you pray for? What do I pray for? To know more of Jesus. You believe that. You believe when you say that prayer, Lord, I want to know more of Jesus. That prayer will be answered. For the Lord delights to draw near to his people. What do we read in Psalm 23, verse 3? He restoreth my soul. The shepherd comes. You pray believing that he will come and that you will be more like Jesus. That prayer will be answered. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, John 14, verse 13, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And as we close, it's interesting there, isn't it? You see why it's so important? Not only we exercise faith, but we focus on the Word, and that we're found asking for things agreeable to his will, because we want the Father to glorify the Son. When you pray for direction, you believe and you have a desire in your heart for the thing you have been praying for in light of the Word of God will glorify the Son. May the Lord help us to pray. Amen. Let us come now to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O gracious God, we would simply say, Lord, help me. And we need help in each prayer. Lord, help us to focus on thee. Help us to submit unto thee. Help us to believe. We would say, O Lord, with that Father of old, and sometimes we say it with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And if there is unbelief in our hearts tonight as we pray, help us, Lord. And even when we're praying, that faith will be strengthened. O Lord, we come. Remember us in thy mercy. Thou art a gracious God. Stretch out thy hand to us and give us more strength and more grace, we pray. O hear us now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We'll turn to our second praise, the 65th Psalm. 65th Psalm. And we're going to sing verses 1 through to verse 6. And particularly note verse 5, which this verse invited the sermon tonight. By fearful works unto our prayers, thine answer dost express. Psalm 65, verses 1 to 6, and the tune is Are Not.
Praise waits for thee in Zion.
Oh,
to